What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast in the biggest way possible right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. Carver High in for Scotty today, all week long, of course. Go for the two. Joe Lisi will join me momentarily here on C2C as we get you rolling on a Wednesday on the grid. We will start, as always, with the birthday roll call. Bo Horvat carrying the Islanders, hopefully to a playoff spot, 28 years old today. Jorge De La Rosa at 42, Matt Bonner, 43, Steven Jackson, 45. Very limited, the birthday roll call on a Wednesday this week. That's because it was Cam's birthday yesterday, and that was such an enormous birthday roll call that everybody just had to get out of the way today. I mean, there was no room for anybody else. We needed to go like a double day with Cam. Because it's always good when the Prime Minister is celebrating. So there you go. Lots of afternoon baseball early on here on Coast to Coast, as it just seems like the entire slate, except for one game, is in the afternoon. We've got the Yanks and the Phillies in the Bronx right now, as Loaisiga just got out of a jam, 2-1. Cole pitched very well again today for the Yankees, who are getting all their offense from Gleyber Torres. The Rays, still undefeated, looking to sweep the Nats, up 7-2 now. Marlins and the Twins playing again. Braves beating up the Cards. And the Pirates beating the Red Sox again at Fenway. So we have all of that, including a few games that start within the hour that me and Joe will take a look at, see who's starting, see what the lines are, and we'll get you cooking there. Also in hour number one, Davis Maddock will be with us, as he is every day now in the first hour. Focus today, some stuff for the NFL draft in a couple of weeks. And if we've got time, we'll dive into some other topics as well with Davis. Mike DeCourcy, sporting news in hour number one as well. We will recap, of course, Monday night, UConn winning the national championship. He had a great piece this week about if they should be considered one of the blue bloods of college basketball now. So we will do that and some other things with Mike in the first hour. Hour two, it is time. The Masters, the Azaleas, Magnolia Road, down in Augusta. They will get started tomorrow. The par three contest going on right now. How about back-to-back aces for the pride of the Emerald Isle? Seamus Power on 8 and 9. Having some fun out there today with the families, but tomorrow they play for real. We will hear from Tiger Woods, hear from Phil Mickelson today on Coast to Coast. Scottie Scheffler as well. They had the big dinner last night, the cheeseburger sliders and the Texas ribeye. Lisi had a pretty good idea for what he would have if he was a Masters champion for the dinner as well. We've got popular Masters props. Then Cam Stewart back with me. We will give you all the outright picks for the Masters. Last few days, lots of props, lots of matchups, top 10s, 20s, 30s. Today, straight winners. Who's going to win this thing? And first round leaders for tomorrow, because the weather is still a problem. First round tomorrow looks okay. They're going to have a good day out there. First round leader bets should be good. But once we get into Friday, it's going to be very tricky. That cut might roll into Saturday. They might not play at all on Saturday. And for the first time since, I believe, 1983, this thing might roll into Monday in Augusta. We do welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty, along with Joe Lisi momentarily, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159 Sports Byline, the Mightier, 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California. Good to have everybody with us here today. Also, hour two, Coach Young, the lion's share, NBA picks for tonight. Some good ones. Knicks playing the Pacers tonight. Pelicans, they need a win against the Grizzlies. Tough loss for them last night at home to Sacramento. They need to get things cooking or they're going to slip down in that play-in spot. We will touch on some things from last night in baseball, continue to update you throughout the day games, including how was about a 1 hour and 57-minute gem from Sandy Alcantara last night down in Miami, picking up right where he left off last year. No doubt about that. A big home run for me from Will Smith for the Dodgers. Only one game tonight, Toronto and Kansas City at the K. Hour three, a couple of NFL notes we'll go over, including Austin Eckler speaking out about the Chargers. Clearly not happy with how they're dealing with him and his contract. Did Bill Belichick try to shop Mac Jones so far this offseason? Why would anybody want him? Let's be honest. We will discuss. NBA, Joel Embiid solidifying the MVP last night. We thought he had it anyway. Last night, he puts the exclamation point on it with 52 against the Celtics in a big win. We've got Doc Rivers also calling the MVP race. All of last night's action, everything setting you up for tonight, all those games we mentioned, the standings in the West, got to look at them daily now because teams are moving up and down. And, of course, there is hockey tonight. I mean, there's a couple of games, significant ones for the playoff race in the West between Calgary and Winnipeg. So we have that, too. So coast to coast, we're just getting going on a Wednesday. Joe joins me when we come back. Davis Maddock, Mike DeCourcy, Coach Young, Cam Stewart, a partridge in a pear tree. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. I bring in Joe in a moment. But first, we have to tell you, of course, baseball is back. BetMGM, no runs, first inning Fridays. How do you do it? Opt into the promotion at BetMGM. Place a no-run first inning bet on any MLB game. Bet no on the will there be a run in first inning market. If your bet loses but only one run is scored during the first inning, you will receive a bonus bet back equaling your stake up to $25. Bonus bets will be reflected once the wager is settled. This is available only on Fridays. Please make sure to read the full terms and conditions of this program before participating. There you go. No run first inning Fridays from BetMGM. All right, Joe. Here he is, go for the two, the encyclopedia of college football and late night MLB over-under betting. He is with me today, as he is every Wednesday on C2C. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Carver. This is very therapeutic for me. Let me just say, I'm looking forward to each and every Wednesday, but more specifically, Carver, this Wednesday. You know why? Because you know what's on deck tomorrow, right? The Masters, baby. You know I don't get gassed up for a lot of things golf, baby. But today, tomorrow, this is what it's all about. One tournament, one man standing at the end, and that's the Masters, baby. Can't wait till action tomorrow afternoon.
I mean, come on, Joe. I mean, what are you trying to get me all gassed up here now? We know you're not involved, all right? Now I'm going to force you to be involved.
I'm involved.
In the second
I
hour
have
today.
Some deep
I'm
shots.
I'm going to force you to be involved. I know you're not really involved. It's okay. You made all the jokes last night. I'll turn it on and fall asleep on Saturday. I'll do all that. You gave all the jokes. It's good. It's good to go, but we love it, and we're involved. And the azaleas are blooming tomorrow on Magnolia Lane. All right? You're going to have to deal with it.
This is it.
Me and Cam have been doing it all week, and now You step in today on Wednesday and you got to bash it. You got to bash the big golf tournament. So
not at all. Fine. This is, I said, it's therapeutic for me. Just hearing Jim Nance's voice for four straight days just soothes me. You know, I'm a very high strung individual. I'm going to be relaxed for the next 4 days heading into the weekend.
ESPN's got most of it on Thursday and Friday, Joe. So you get most of it, most of Jim on Saturday and Sunday. Don't worry. You That's still get a lot of Jim in the back. That's all that matters. I know. What matters right now, Joe, is we have a lot of live baseball, tons of day games in MLB. In fact, only one game tonight, which will be the Blue Jays and the Royals in Kansas City. But let's get into what's going on right now, Joe. Phillies were knocking on the door in the seventh in the Bronx, down 2-1. The Yankees got out of it. And then Jose, don't call me Lee Trevino, little Masters play for you there, hit a two-run homer for the Yanks, 4-1 now in the bottom of the seventh. They lead. Cole pitched great today. Second outing of the year, both of them spectacular, which is a very good sign considering how he started last year. The Rays, once again, Joe, up 7-2 against the Nats. They are looking to go to 6-0 to start the season. And a nice start that they had, Tigers and the Nationals, to kick things off. But you got to beat who you play, right, Joe? You can't... whatever they put in front of you, that's who you got to beat. So good start for Tampa and the Yankees here out of the gates.
Well, who told you about Tampa? 89.5 win total, right? Well, that was one of my five overs for the regular season. I know you have the smirk on, but when they push your New York Yankees at 20-1 to win the World Series, we'll see if you're still smiling at the end, Carver. All this team does is win, baby. They're much like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Small market. They cultivate the young talent in terms of the farm system, great pitching. They play together as a team. Maybe not elite five-star talent like we like to call it in terms of college football. Not, you know, $50 million players like Aaron Judge. But at the end of the day, they just win, baby. And that's all that matters.
The Marlins now have a couple of home runs from Jorge Soler today. They now lead 5-1. It's very rare they go over their team total. They do it today. Braves leading the Cardinals 5-1. Go ahead, Joe. You were all over the Braves today. I know. Let everybody know.
I was.
All over the
Plus
Braves.
Plus 106 for the sweep. We talked about it last night. I mean, there's another team. All they do is win, baby. The Braves and Tampa Bay are very similar. They have young talent. They play well as a team, and all they do is challenge for division titles each and every year.
Big day for Matt Olson. He's got two doubles, a homer, four RBIs, beating up the Redbirds, going for the sweep out in St. Louis. Another team going for the sweep, Joe, is the Buccos, as the Pirates, once again, leading at Fenway, 4-0, top of the seventh there. Mets got down 4-0, Joe, 4-1, in this game in Milwaukee. They have come all the way back. Two homers from Pete Alonso. Mets lead the Brewers 6-4. Out in Milwaukee.
That was an over today. That total was what, 8 last night when we did the show? I don't know, Carver. Yep. I'm not buying into the Mets, though. I said it earlier. I'll say it again. 93.5 at the start of the year, I thought was a lot for the Mets. Now with their issues and in terms of the lineup, I'm going to sell them. I still don't like the way they're playing. They might get this victory over the Brew Crew today. We'll see how it plays out. But I think I'm going to sell them the rest of the regular season.
Well, the one thing that worries you is they, you know, it's only a week. It's hard to go too crazy, but starting pitching has not been, you know, well, it's just pitching as well. I mean, Scherzer hasn't looked great. He didn't the other night, that's for sure. They've got some injuries right now that are starting to add up. Peterson wasn't great today either. So for Mets, it's the arms for me. I think the bats will be fine, like you see Alonso coming alive today. 2-2 Orioles and the Rangers right now. That is in the bottom of the fifth. DeGrom pitching very well. I saw he had 8 strikeouts through the first 4 innings. And the Astros lead the Tigers 4-1 as the Tigers, Joe, were also looking for the sweep today. Javier on the mound for Houston, 4-1. They are going to the bottom of the fifth there. Did you play the Tigers today, Joe? I know that's one of your big teams. We talk about you taking their win total all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm on their total. You know, asking the Tigers to sweep a team like the Houston Astros is asking a lot, right? I mean, come on. At the end of the day, we're not talking like the Braves. We're not talking a better team like Tampa Bay. We're talking about a doormat in terms of Detroit. We'll see if they pull it out. I mean, plus 1.5 runs, I have them, so we'll see.
And finally, White Sox and the Giants in the top of the fifth. Cease against Logan Webb right now. White Sox have the 2-1 lead in that one. Two games that are going to start within the hour, Joe. The Guardians in Oakland against the Athletics as they finish off that series. A's beat them last night, 4-3, late night win for them. Right now, Joe, as they get ready to start in about 15 minutes out at the Ashtray, Guardians minus 135, A's plus $1.15, total of flat eight here.
Yeah, if total scares me. I'm going to go under. I was over it in game at 5.5 yesterday. They got 7, but I'm going to lean to the Guardians to pull this ball game out.
And we'll also be watching Angels and the Mariners in Seattle. That one starts in a little under an hour, 4:10 East first pitch. Ohtani on the hill today against Flexen. Angels, of course, with Ohtani going minus 175, plus $1.45 for Seattle. 7 the total in that one. You already told us earlier that you're going after Ohtani today. You want to go after
him? I did. I went after him with the A's in game one. I'm going to do it now, back-to-back. Give me the Mariners, and I'm going to go over the 7-2, Carver.
Yeah, Ohtani for 10-plus strikeouts today, Joe. That's where we'll go. Maybe he'll lose a game, but we're going to go Ohtani for 10-plus strikeouts in this one. All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast, we'll come back. Davis Maddock with us. We will go over some draft stuff and others. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us every day. Davis Maddock is with us. You see him Saturday mornings, 8 a.m. East, Fantasy Sports Today. I even saw him this morning on TMA. Look at you, Davis. Little sit-in for Ben this morning on TMA. Nice job, my man. Good to see you again. Let's roll, baby. How about a little draft talk? Just about 3 weeks away from the big day. But of course, we have to look at this draft from a fantasy perspective and the quarterbacks that are on top with CJ Stroud and Bryce Young.
Yeah, I mean, look, from my perspective, the figuring out who these two guys are going to be in the NFL is sort of like the most interesting question. Because if CJ Stroud is better than these scouts think he is, and sort of the comps I've heard, everything from like Kirk Cousins light to Tony Romo-esque to souped up Dak Prescott, that some people don't like him as much, right? Some people think that Ohio State quarterbacks, you get to play with like a bazillion first round wide receivers and you're going to look pretty good. And then, you know, you kind of hear the same thing on Bryce Young, where I heard this one tossed out the other day. Like, if Bryce Young was 6'4", would we view him as the can't miss Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck, you know, number one overall, not even close. You're trading your whole franchise to get him style prospect. So I'm just curious to see, is either one of them going to be so good that they step into whatever team they go to, whether it be the Panthers or the Texans, and immediately make them better for fantasy, immediately have them scoring more points per game. And actually, weirdly enough, I sort of think Young will be better at that. I think Young will immediately sort of raise the tide higher than Stroud. What do you think?
I'm with you. I just think Young's going to be better than Stroud. And I kind of do lean to the fact that if he was a little taller, he probably would get put on that kind of same status that the guys who were for a year and a half, no doubt about it, going to be the first overall pick. I think he would have been with those guys. I think the interesting wild card is, what if the Raiders, let's say, or one of these teams do take Richardson, you know, obviously not in the top three, but in the 5 to 10 range, would he maybe have the biggest impact just because of what he's going to be able to do with his legs?
I mean, I think probably yes. Just from a brief bit of scouting on these guys, I think Young seems like the guy who's a little bit better at evading pressure and getting out of the pocket and making throws on the run. Now, obviously, the counter to that would be, well, Bryce Young is having to bail from the pocket a lot more than CJ Stroud because he can't see over his center or the defensive lineman. So he's going to be bailing a little bit more. Also, I mean, it does feel crazy to say, but if the market holds the way it's sitting right now, and we did this morning on TMA, Stroud is like minus 300 to be the first pick, maybe even deeper than that. And Young is considerably deeper. So if you assume Stroud to the Panthers and Young to the Texans, I mean, the Texans already have a couple decent offensive linemen. They have Nico Collins. They have Damian Pierce. They signed Dalton Schultz from the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. Just the giving Adam Thielen 3 years, $25 million. Like, I am not inspired by this. I have a feeling that regardless of which rookie quarterback goes to Carolina, I think there are going to be some growing pains.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be very tough. And you're right. Sometimes you just have to, you know, you let the board do the talking. And when it's minus 300, they know, you know, that's where it's leaning right now. That's probably going to be Stroud down in Carolina. What about running back for this draft? I mean, it seems like there's a clear couple guys at the top, including Bijan Robinson. But what about after that, maybe third and deeper?
So I think that you get a lot of different you get a lot of different inputs on this depending on who you talk to. So some people are big fans of Devin Achane, the Texas A&M running back. Look, some people really like Tajay Spears, who is, you know, not even a Power Five running back. Zach Evans, who went to Southern Methodist University. I think I have landed on Zach Charbonnet, the UCLA kid. Now, do I think Zach Charbonnet, you draft him in the second round and he's going to play like Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall? I don't think so. You know, I think those guys from last season, different caliber. Charbonnet, an athletic guy, but not a freak. Usable in the passing game, but, you know, he's not Jamaal Charles, basically, when he gets into the open field. I think the comp I would make for him would be, his median style comp would be someone like James Conner. Very dependable, gets the ball, rumbles, gets you 4 yards a lot of the time, doesn't fumble. I think his high-end comp would be Le'Veon Bell. People can remember all the way back to when Le'Veon Bell was a prospect. He was not great in college at Michigan State. He was good. He wasn't great. But he got to the NFL, and he lost like 10 pounds and kind of just, you know, just kind of got in really good NFL shape, and obviously had that multi-year run of maybe being the best running back in the NFL. And I think that's sort of the hope with Charbonnet. But I do need to give one mention here. My favorite running back in the class is Kansas State University's Deuce Vaughn, shortest prospect in the history of the combine. He had more yards, more touchdowns, and more receptions than Bijan Robinson, who's going to go number one amongst all these running backs. So I just think he's a little interesting.
Deuce can fly, man. Deuce can absolutely fly, and he will help somebody up. He's the kind of guy that'll start off, Davis, right? Like returning punts, returning kicks. Coordinator will start to see, all right, we got to get this guy involved a little bit more in the offense. Let's get him three or four touches a game, whether it's in the backfield or with a screen. He is definitely an interesting prospect in this draft. All right, wide receivers. We're used to big-bodied guys being some of the first ones off the board. Everybody wants size down in the red zone. A lot of good wide receivers in this draft, but maybe not as big as some of the ones in the past.
I mean, it's straight up bizarre. Like during the NFL combine, I sort of thought it was, I thought maybe there was something wrong. Like, remember at the combine, not this last year, but the year before, all the 40s were messed up. Like the machine was running hot.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the scale was off or something, because so Jalin Hyatt is 173 pounds. Josh Downs is 171 pounds. Jordan Addison is 175. Like, these are guys who are expected to be first round picks, and they are like Darnell Mooney, Cole Beasley. So I went ahead and did a little bit of research. So just using kind of fantasy points as an indicator, DeSean Jackson and Devonta Smith are the only wide receivers who weigh less than 180 pounds to score 200 fantasy points in a season. Like, I mean, that's kind of like the NFL's existed for a long time. Like, that is kind of crazy. Now, Cole Beasley has been close. Darnell Mooney has been close. I don't know. I guess maybe one of the things I'm thinking is maybe it's just a different game now. You know, last season was the highest pass rate that the NFL's ever had. So teams have never passed more often per down than they did last season. But also at the same time, they are throwing the ball shorter. So I guess it's maybe just more about just getting open, you know, getting the 7-yard hitch routes and just getting open as opposed to blowing by guys. But it is very bizarre. This is like the smallest wide receiver class in NFL history, really.
Who do you like the most out of these guys at the top? Because they're all talked mid to late first round. Wide receivers usually flow off the board pretty quickly. You've got some good ones, whether it's Smith and Jigba or Quentin Johnston. Who are you looking at right now as the best one?
Unpopular opinion. This is definitely a little bit of a hot take, but the University of Oklahoma's Marvin Mims, to me, he looks like Hyatt or Downs or Addison, really without any of the size concerns because he's closer to 185. He ran a good 40, you know, ran a 4.38, did well in, you know, all the agility testing and everything. And, you know, was a, you know, 5-star recruit, you know, like just, I don't know. It seems weird to me because right now, if you look at all the, you know, you look at Todd McShay, you look at all these guys doing their mock drafts, everyone's Downs and Hyatt. Some people really like Flowers. Some people have a lot like 4 or 5 tight ends going in the first round passing on some of these wide receivers. But to me, Mims looks like, to me, I think he could potentially be a star in the NFL.
About a minute left here, Davis, before we let you go. I know you're into the golf like I am. Masters tees off tomorrow. What are you doing here? Are you going after the chalk at the top, or are you sticking with the favorites? What are you doing for the Masters?
I couldn't bet anyone at the top. Didn't bet Rory, didn't bet Rom, didn't bet Scheffler. I've got Justin Thomas at 22-1. I've got Hovland at 40-1, Zalatoris at 40-1, and my stab, because I would be so unhappy with myself if he won and I didn't have a piece of it, Bryson at 130-1. Our friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. I know he's probably gonna miss the cut and stink, but I would be disgusted if he won and I didn't bet that number.
That is a big nut for a guy who 2 years ago with the Masters, you would have got him at 25 or 30-1. To get him at 130-1 this year, that is pretty crazy. Only one baseball game tonight. I know you'll be watching it. The Blue Jays and the Royals. That is it. Not as many overs last night, Davis. That's for sure. The unders came back a little bit. Some low-scoring games out there. We will talk to you tomorrow for more fantasy, wherever you want to go tomorrow, Davis. I can't wait. Thanks, buddy.
All right, beautiful. I will be brainstorming some stuff, and I will see you tomorrow afternoon, man. Have a good night.
Here he is, Davis Maddock, Fantasy Sports Today. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and Joe Lisi in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. All right, Joe, I was just talking to Davis there, and I know that you heard the end of it. And I know that like you start to like, you hear people talking about like college football or the draft, like you start to like break out and sweat because you're like 140 or so days away from the week zero games at the end of August, the Irish and Navy kicking off at the Aviva in Dublin. So you're always, you break out in hives when people start talking college football. So you need to jump in. Davis was just saying out of the wide receivers, he likes Mims from Oklahoma the most out of that group, which he was saying was a very undersized group at the top amongst all those wideouts. Are you also in feeling for Mims?
I like Mims. I think he's definitely a player that you got to keep an eye out. He's definitely a first-round talent, best player in terms of Oklahoma's offense with Dylan Gabriel. I'll throw another Big 12 wide receiver that was very productive, better than his predecessor in terms of Allen Lazard. Keep an eye out for Xavier Hutchinson in terms of the next level, whether he's a second or a third-round pick. He's worthy of a first-round grade, Carver.
He is, I think, worthy of a first-round grade. And there is so many guys that you could put in the mix right now, Joe, that's for sure. And you know that I want Smith and Jigba up in Buffalo. That's the guy that I want up there, Joe. That's either him or get me Mayer for the dual tight end action to go along with Dawson Knox. That would be a good one as well. Rest of the baseball going on right now. Yankees now lead 4-2 in the eighth over the Phillies as they try to close that one out and take two out of three from them. Tampa just about ready to wrap up the Nationals. Braves still leading 5-1. The Buccos, Joe, 4-1 lead over Boston. That is in the eighth inning. Mets and Brewers now tied at 6. That one now in the seventh in Milwaukee. 4-2 Rangers lead. The Orioles, 4-1 White Sox lead the Giants, and 4-1 Astros lead the Tigers. Tons of day baseball, and we still have a couple games that are yet to start. Joe, I will get back to you in a little bit, but right now, every week here on C2C, we love talking to our man, Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, fresh off a trip to Houston and the Final Four, where Mike, the UConn Huskies, fifth time national champions, and let's be honest, Mike, from pillar to post, they destroyed everybody. Everybody in their way, all the way to that national title. No levels. We'll get Mike back here in a moment here on C2C to talk about, of course, the UConn win over San Diego State on Monday night down in H-Town. As listen, Mike wrote a great article about whether or not UConn is a blue blood now. I happen to agree with him on that notion that they should be mentioned amongst all of those other teams that get that moniker, the Dukes and the North Carolinas, the Kansases, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera here. Miami now 5-2, we should say. They just wrapped that one up against the Twins down in Miami. So good couple of days for the Marlins. Get the 5-2 win last night. They get the hour and 57-minute one from Alcantara last night. So that's a good bounce back after the Twins had gotten off to a 4-0 start to the season. Cardinals just got one back against the Braves. So 5-2 in that one at this point. And the Buccos, like we were saying, with the 4-1 weight lead over the Red Sox in the eighth inning. The par three going on in Augusta at the moment, and these guys are just draining them now at this point. They are just knocking them in from all over the place. Power went back to back on the 8 and the 9. Scheffler put one in on the par three as well. A hole in one for him. Spieth is out there now. He's got the whole family. And this is the fun part of this tournament. They bring all the families out the day before the par three contest, and everything is ready to rock. I believe now we have Mike back in the mix. Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Mike, as I was saying before, UConn, destruction, all six games. They beat everybody. There's no doubt about it, baby. Great championship run.
Well, they were a terrific team, and a lot of times when you are a championship worthy team, a true contender, what you need is for things to fall your way, and things fell their way, starting with UCLA having multiple injuries. I'm not sure they would have been in UCLA's bracket necessarily had that not happened, or they would have been in UCLA's bracket and UCLA would have been the one and they would have had to play them sooner. So that went their way. Then the fact that they ended up playing Gonzaga because UCLA was not healthy was great for them, because they could certainly deal with a lot of the threats that Gonzaga presented offensively. They could at least mute it And then there was no way that Gonzaga was going to be able to defend them at a level to win. So that was a tailor-made opportunity for them. Elite Eight, that was perfect for them. And then they get to the Final Four, and they're the only team. I talked about this with Scott last week. They're the only team that had everything you need to be a champion. Now, there was some concern for people like me that are kind of reliant upon those qualities to figure out who's going to win it. I'm kind of reliant on the tradition of you got to have a first round pick, you got to have some size, and you have to have greatness on offense and defense. Those three things have held tight for 20 years with only one exception. So was there going to be another exception? In this case, there would be exceptions on multiple levels. In that case, it was just one. They just weren't a great offensive team in 2014 UConn. But this time, they were the only team that had everything, and a lot of teams had nothing out of the four. So that was a concern, and UConn just went out there and showed, we're the only ones here that are traditional NCAA champions. We're going to win this thing.
Yeah, even when San Diego State got it to five in the second half there, I never really felt like they were going to lose the game. Right, Mike? Like, it just didn't feel like UConn was going to lose, even though the Aztecs had come so close and got it back to that number.
Yeah, I felt like they wouldn't lose then. But if they had gotten to two, then all of a sudden you're thinking anything could happen. And they were one bad trip away from that happening. But they ran that beautiful staggered screen for Jordan Hawkins, brought him up from the left side, got him around toward the top, you know, somewhere between the left wing and the top of the key, and he nails the jumper. And that three-pointer ended the game. I know that technically there was still time, but there's no way. It wasn't going to happen at that point. The final punctuation mark was the terrific Matt Bradley missing a three-pointer from the right side. And at that point, everyone in the gym knew that it was over. I think there were still 2.5, 3 minutes left, and it was still only an 8-point game. But you just knew that was all San Diego State had, was that last shot, and they just couldn't get it to go down.
No, they could not. After the game, great piece by you talking about UConn. Are they a blue blood after winning their fifth national championship? The floor is yours, Mike. I say yes.
I don't even think it's a question at this point. Why does everything have to be rooted in 70 years of history? I think this is the defining point that goes to whether they're a blue blood. When you look at the fact that they have won five championships since Indiana and UCLA, which still are embraced by that concept, and rightfully so. I mean, they have great histories. They still have more championships than all but three other schools. Only Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA have more championships than Indiana. They're in. UCLA, they're in because they have 11, but neither of them has won since 95. 87 and 95 were the most recent for those two schools. UConn's won five times since then. I got a lot of resistance from that column. There were a lot of elements of that column, but that was one of them. And I got a lot of resistance from that. And I'm not sure whether it was rival schools, but there's a lot of talk about the fact they missed eight tournaments in those 25 years. Yeah, but they had one period in which four of them were missed. Four of them were missed in one period when after Kevin Ollie won the championship with 2015, they just didn't sustain the program. I think that it was tough to recruit to UConn when they were playing in the American. The administration corrected that. They felt that Kevin wasn't the right person to go forward. That can be debated, but it can't be debated that they found the right person to go forward because Dan Hurley's fantastic, and he's the exact right person to get that recruiting going again, to coach them to the level that he did this year, to understand what hadn't been going right over the last two or three years in terms of advancement in this tournament, that they needed to be better offensively while still retaining the defensive principles that he learned as a young, as a boy under his father, Bob Hurley Sr. When he learned that stuff, that was the core of what he is, but you got to make baskets in college basketball. You can't just rely on stopping other teams. That'll only get you so far. In some cases, it doesn't get you anywhere, which is what happened to UConn last year against New Mexico State.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the Aztecs on Monday night. They win 10-plus minutes without making a field. You gotta score. You got to get some points every once in a while. So the crazy season begins now, Mike. We have a champion. It's time for the offseason. 1,000 kids already or something like that are in the transfer portal. Everybody can retool, get their teams back. We got a lot of coaching changes. Who are we looking out for in terms of will they go to the draft or will they transfer some bigger names?
Well, I think that one of the biggest names draft-wise is Donovan Klingon. I think that his decision may be the crucial piece in whether UConn could go back and repeat because they're bringing in a five-star freshman, Stephon Castle, who can play either as a playmaking wing or as a point guard. If Tristan Newton comes back with what he achieved this year, then Stephon will probably play as a playmaking wing. If he doesn't come back, then that's the direction they'd go. And it's Stephon's choice. Excuse me, it's Tristan's choice because he's 5 years eligibility available to him now because of the COVID year. He still has that to spend. Andre Jackson as well. Does he go to the draft? I think he showed over the weekend not ready. His offensive game isn't there. He's a hard-playing defender. There is offense in there. It just needs work. And I don't think he'd be valued in the NBA draft at this point. He might be a second-round pick for somebody and probably play next year in the G League if he were. So I think that there's room for him to come back. So if they get some of those pieces back, they'll be a significant contender for the national championship next year. We got to look at what Kentucky's roster is going to look like. They lost their backup center today to the transfer portal. I don't know. One of the things that I haven't seen discussed, does that mean Oscar Tshiebwe is thinking about coming back and there just wouldn't be any more time between the freshman center that they recruited and Oscar? I don't know if that's what it means or not, but that's UK's roster is something to really look at because that's a team that could be great next year if they have the right pieces.
It's a different day and age now, Mike. You got a couple bucks to maybe keep Oscar around for another year. You know, in the past, he would have been gone already, but now he's in the mix. Mike, great stuff. Welcome back from Houston. Thanks as always. Scott's back next week. We'll talk to you then, buddy. Mike DeCourcy, the Sporting News. We're back on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Wednesday. Carver High and go for the two. Joe Lisi here with us today. Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you aboard. Braves a winner for you, Joe. So nice job by you. Braves get the sweep. Pirates are up 4-1. Yankees a winner. Rays a winner. So we've got some finals starting to roll in baseball this afternoon. What else are you on here? Because I know you got some crazy parlay or something that you got working here for these day baseball games. I know you didn't sit it out.
There you go. I'm on the over tonight. You froze up there for a second. I'm on the over tonight in terms of the late night baseball game that we're going to do. And I'm on a couple of NBA basketball as well.
So no afternoon for Joe. You figured you're doing the show. We're doing Coast to Coast
Atlanta.
Today.
I'm
gonna
Atlanta.
Sit it all
what
out.
Do you want me to
okay,
jump
so
on?
Just Atlanta. Okay, I apologize. I'm
and
sorry.
And the Tigers plus a run and a half. I've been trying to get an update on that. I haven't caught the Detroit game though. They were down.
They're
4-1
down 4-1
last
in the seventh inning. They're down.
All right, so I'm catching a run and a half. I need them to lose by 4-3, and then it's perfect for me.
Why don't we do something fun in the Angel Mariner game here for the last couple hours? Why don't we have something in the Angel Mariner game?
All right, so then what do you want to do? I can only go over. Over in Mariners if you want. That's the only way I'm going to look.
I'll go over to 7 with you if you want. You want to play the over, Joe? We'll do the
right,
over 7 in the
over.
Angels and the Mariners?
Yeah. I mean, just because it's Ohtani, can't the Angels finally break out and score some runs?
I don't see why Seattle can't score a couple runs against Ohtani. Why not? Just because he hits and he pitches doesn't mean that he's going to throw a shutout, Joe. So why not? Why don't we go after Ohtani here with the over?
Let's
do it. All right, over Angels and Mariners. We'll come back. Joe's got Masters picks. We'll set you up. We'll hear from Tiger. We'll hear from Phil. a lot more to do. And me and Cam have the outright picks as well in hour number two. Pharrell, coast to coast, Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.